Our first guest on the programme is Olivia Bradley, who is from Crossroads at Killygordon, and is going to be telling us her story and great plans she has as well. Olivia, thank you so much for coming in.
Hi, Greg, how are you?
Good. I have nothing but admiration for you coming in and telling your story, because I couldn't do it. People often say to me, you know, because I work professionally in radio, how do you do it? And it's a piece of cake, but this, what you're doing, I would find impossible. So,
oh, really?
a ton of respect for you.
Yes.
You're going to go on a walk, a jog, and we're going to talk about that, but I want you to tell me why.
Okay.
Tell me what happened to you. What's your story?
Yeah, well, really, one of the reasons why I'm doing it is I just want to bring awareness, I suppose, to infertility, to all women, also to make awareness of IVF and miscarriage, and to raise money for the Alzheimer's Society and the Miscarriage Association of Ireland. I suppose really what I want to get out there is, I suppose when I was younger, I didn't think that there would be any problems with me having a child. It was something that I always wanted to do. And
always talk about, well, when are you going to do it? Oh, I might do it this, I might do it then. It's whenever I want to do it, isn't
exactly.
That? That's the way we are, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. And then I had a miscarriage when I was younger. I got pregnant, naturally had a miscarriage, thought, oh, okay, I was disastrous, but at the same time I thought, well, I'm young, I've still got loads of time, and then I just kind of let it go airy-fairy that, oh, this will happen for me, I'm not going to have any problems, and then as the time went on, then I suppose it was around 2005 that I decided that I wanted to really try again for a child. After a couple of years, we were having no luck whatsoever. So we went and had a few tests. Well, I went and had a few tests done, and there was nothing. I had cysts in my ovaries when I was younger, and they said that, yeah, I might have problems, do you know. But because I had got pregnant before, I thought, oh, well, do you know, it's fine. It'll come right or whatever. But done a few tests, went on a few fertility drugs. Nothing was happening whatsoever. So we kind of held off with it and thought, oh, it'll be okay. And then it came to 2013, and we just thought, right, there's something badly wrong here. So we decided we were going to go for IVF. So again, we went for a few tests. Everything was fine. Myself and my husband was fine. There was nothing in particular there. Everything was perfect. And we went and booked our IVF for the 10th of May in 2013.
Is that something that you have to fund yourself research yourself? Pardon my ignorance, but people might be listening and be curious about that. So you have to make a decision, right, we're going to have to allocate this amount of our money.
Oh, definitely.
To go and do this.
And it's something that you have to, you know, decide to do yourself. Mm. It's something that you have to, you know, you just have to find out all the information yourself. Unfortunately, IVF is not very, you know, there's not a lot of info around it, especially down here in Donegal. You have to go to Dublin to get your info on it, which is quite scary because you don't have, you know, you have nowhere to turn kind of with it.
And it's a massive first step, because before you even know where you're going, you have to travel all the way to
Dublin. Well, it's either Dublin or Galway if you don't want to go over the border, you know, which is, it's quite horrible because it's scary. And like, this is another point I want to get across to women. Don't be scared of it. Do you know, the horror stories that are around IVF are not as bad as what they sound like. But anyway,
Can I just ask before we go on to that, how strong was the desire to have a child? How much was it affecting or influencing your day-to-day life? Was it everything?
Took over everything.
It was.
No matter what I wanted, went to do, it's just, you never stop thinking about it. Always in your head all the time. You see a woman with a pram and it's just constantly in your head. It's all, you know, it's all you think about day in, day out.
And I assume, you know, it makes it tense too, presumably.
It does.
You know? I don't want to get into...
No, but it is. It's horrible, and it's horrible to be feeling like that all the time, and to have that, you know, to have that want all the time and just have no control whatsoever over it. It is just terrible. Like, and, you know, even when we decided to do the IVF and 2013, like we booked it, for the 7th of May. We found out on the 4th of April we were pregnant naturally, which was absolutely fantastic. We couldn't believe it. We thought, oh my God, this is just
a miracle.
Yeah. And then everything was going well and everything was fine. And then on the 10th of May we had we went down to Letterkenny for a scan, and there was no heartbeat.
That's the worst news you could have ever received.
And it was just kind of like, why? Do you know, it was more anger. Like, why would that happen to you?
Why give it to me in the first place and then take it away?
It was terrible. I went into a really dark place after it, and I just, you know, I just couldn't. I was angry. I was so angry. But we had to try and get over it. We left ourselves time to kind of recover from it. But then one thing happened us after another. My husband took sick then in January 2015. We lost his mum, unfortunately, in November 2014. He took sick in 2015. We had to give him time then to recover from that. Mm. And then, unfortunately, we lost his dad then in the November 2015 as well. So it was just really...
a horrendous couple of years.
It was, everything was on top of one another, and we didn't get a chance then to, you know, to try again. So,
but you still have these maternal strings pulling at you too at the same time, because you're dealing with your own incredibly personal loss.
Yeah.
And then probably desires, and you see the anger, and then you've got everything else going on the outside. You must have been racked with guilt at times too, were you?
It was, and it was just pure, you know, oh God, it was kind of thinking like, when am I going to get a chance to do this again? Because things just kept coming up. But, you know, it was just life. It was things that you couldn't, I suppose, avoid. It was life. Like.
So at this stage, then, the IVF had gone out the window for the time being, because, as you say, you got pregnant naturally. So obviously, there's no point going down there to do that. Then life happened, and life is so
and all of that kind of took
times,
over.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And then in 2016, again, we decided, okay, we were going to do this. This was going to be our year. We were going to, you know. So we decided to book the IVF again, and this time it happened. We booked it for the May, and we went, and unfortunately I had another cyst in my ovary, so that kind of sent us back a wee bit. I had to wait for that to disappear. And then I had just started my drugs when I found out that my job was being made redundant in the middle of the IVF. So I was like, oh, here we go again.
When you were told that, did you say, is this a joke?
I really...
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I really couldn't.
Are you having a laugh?
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I was just like, oh, God. So I just was like, no, I have to keep going with this, because I can't stop now anyway. Mm-hmm. Do you know, the IVF, we had started into it. It was okay. The drugs wasn't great, but it was okay. It was hard to do.
Another thing, maybe people don't realise, that you have to go on drugs as well. It's going to perhaps vary from case to case, but it's not just as simple as procedure.
It's injections twice a day, two injections twice a day. Injecting yourself was not the easiest thing to do, but do you know, here we had to do it. Like, we had our transfer then, our egg retrieval and that, and our transfer at the end of July.
And what age were you then, if you don't mind me asking? Because you have mentioned your age a couple of times, and so I know you don't mind.
Yeah, no, not at all. I'm 38 now. Yeah. I'd be 39 in March. 20. Oh, we're in March.
Happy birthday.
The 21st of March, yes.
Yeah, so. Were you given any warnings in advance about the likelihood of this being successful? Was your age referenced as part of the whole IVF process?
But do you know, they kind of, they were very concerned about the age, I suppose, at the time. Because, I was 37
well.
When I went to talk about it with Rotunda IVF clinic. But, like, they kind of put it to your back all then, you know, saying, don't worry about it, like, you know. So I wasn't so much worried at the time, because I just thought, oh, this is going to work for us, you know. Mm. But as I say then, we had the
transfer there,
and then we had to wait until the 29th of, the 29th of July.
Mm-hmm.
I get mixed up in my June and July, to see if we were going to be pregnant or not. But on the 28th, my sister was killed in the car accident here outside Letterkenny. So it was horrible. The next day I rang the clinic, the IVF clinic, and I said, you know, I can't do this. I'm just after being made aware that my sister has been killed in an accident. And she says, look, you know, we still would ask you to do your test tomorrow morning.
What do you do in that situation?
Yeah, so I went on and done the test the next morning, and sure as hell I was pregnant. I was so mixed up, I didn't know what way to feel. It was just horrendous. It was terrible. But at the same time, I was delighted. I just kind of thought, you know, she would have wanted this. So I had to get on with it. We'd done the funeral and that. And as the time went on, I had to try and find happiness and being, you know, pregnant. And so we went in for our 7-week scan and everything was grand. We had a very strong heartbeat. We were grand. The baby, okay, was measuring a tiny bit small, but they just That's said it was not to worry about. Yeah. And that the heartbeat was very strong. And then again, at the beginning of September, I had to go down. Letterkenny rang me here to say, because I had the scan in Rotunda, and then Letterkenny rang me to say that I had missed my scan. So I had come down to Letterkenny to do a scan, and again, there was no heartbeat. So it was just horrendous. I would say my heart broke. Just, it was terrible. So, sorry.
No, take your time. Listen, you're doing absolutely amazing. Everyone has things happen to them, but what's happened to you is above and beyond what any human is expected to have to put up with.
Yeah, look.
So you take your time if you need to take your time.
Yeah.
And I do understand that. But to get that news for a second time, and with everything that's gone on, with you tying it in with your sister and all that, it probably magnified it. Oh, tens and tens and tens of times.
It was terrible. I can't even explain. Mm-hmm. Do you know, Christmas there was just horrible. Yeah. It was just one of the worst times.
It shines a light on everything that's wrong in your life, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It was just the hardest thing to get through. So I'll be honest, to be honest with you, I just, you know, I suppose I turned a bit to drink, but I had to get myself out of there. I had to, you know, it just wasn't worth it. Thank you. I then went I decided, I think it was the week after the New Year's, that
this
I had
is
to
this
do
year now. This is this really is just, recent.
Yeah.
Right. Before we talk about that, and you, with everything you've been through, you've now decided to start doing stuff to help other people.
Yeah.
As it relates to having a baby, is that something you've parked now at this stage?
No.
You're still.
No, I can't. I'm going to go again. My husband was kind of like, "Oh, it's killing you." Do you know, we can't.
It's going to happen for you.
I feel
really
for him as well. Do you know, because the two of us is in it. But do you know, but
if you didn't keep going, you'd be no use to anyone.
As I said to him, if I don't at least try one more time before I hit 45 years of age, if I don't at least try one more time, I would be in a worse state when I get older. If I didn't try, then I would be if I did. So no, I'm going to try again, but I just have to get my head right, because like this baby would have been due on the 5th of April coming now. It's very hard leading up to that time. Yeah. I'm dreading it. I'm absolutely dreading it. But at the same time, do you know, I just have to, I suppose, get over this hurdle and then hopefully move on and look at the IVF again. I feel, Greg, that the last go just didn't get a chance between the redundancy, my sister died, and you know, it just didn't get a chance.
The odds were stacked against you, and with that level of stress and the effect stress can have on your body and everything else.
Yeah.
So that's but to get the 7 weeks, such positive news, and then to have to go through it again, it's the emotional roller coaster that we're not really.
Do you know, feeling so good at the time and really thinking, that morning coming down to Letterkenny Hospital, really, really thinking everything's fine, everything's okay. We only agreed to do the scan because they were giving it to us the next morning.
But you must be generally a very positive person, though. Because if that was me, I'd be, you know,
yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm a bloke, I don't know. But, you know,
I don't know. I don't know if it's positivity or if it's just, I just have to keep this as something I really, really want. Don't get me wrong. If it comes to the stage where it's not going to happen for us, I will have to deal with that at the time.
And you will,
But I just can't, do you know, I just can't give up that quickly.
So what are you doing in June then?
So,
if you haven't enough to be worried about.
But I decided I had to do something.
Right.
So, so I'm doing a run from Dublin, from the Rotunda IVF clinic. And the reason why I'm doing it from there is I kind of want to make awareness that this is how far a woman in Donegal has to go to to have IVF.
Out of her own pocket too.
Out of her own pocket.
If you were in the UK, I think the
NHS fund some of it. Do you know,
at least help out?
Like
yeah.
Even in the north there, if you were to go on to Derry or Belfast to do it, they would fund it. Like, but the sterling is just ridiculous. Yeah. You couldn't even think about going out, do you know, to do it. Like it would cost. So
I notice here you've got walk, stroke, jog. Are you going to pick one?
No. I have put on the walk. I'm going just in case I flake after a while. But no, I'm hoping to slow jog most of it.
I know.
But
it's a big undertaking.
I'll probably
a couple of weeks?
It's 2 weeks.
Two weeks. So
yeah.
If you're going to start at Rotunda in Dublin at the IVF clinic, which is symbolic of the distance travelling and to raise awareness of that.
Yes.
And then you're going to slow jog the whole way up.
Yeah. So it's going to take, I've given myself 16 days and it's doing 16K a day with the grace of 2 days that maybe, do you know if I was, because I'm feeling maybe that the weekend in between might be a wee bit...
difficult.
Could be hard. Yeah, so yeah. I've given myself 2 days there that if I can only do 5K, well, I can only do 5K them 2 days.
And how can people support you? I presume they'll be able to along the way, but it'll be almost over by the time you get up here. So
yes.
How can people support you in advance? Because you are raising money as well, aren't you, obviously?
I am, yes. And the money that I raise will be between the Miscarriage Association of Ireland and the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, because my mum, unfortunately, has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So I will be splitting the funds between the two of them. Yeah, I have sponsored. I have a GoFundMe page at the minute.
Very good.
Which you can find by Walk Jog Dublin to Donegal. And then I also have sponsorship cards there as well, which I'm hoping to leave on to most businesses around the place. And then I also have a guy, Martin Callaghan, fair play to him, donated a lovely Hollywood mirror for me to raffle off. So I also have cards there for the raffling, which I hope to leave and to most businesses as well. Really, Greg, if anybody wants to sponsor me, they can get me on Facebook. I set up a page on Facebook called Our Journey to Be Mamas. Because just whenever I made my miscarriage and IVF, you know, I suppose, knowing a lot of women came to me saying, oh God, this has happened to me, but I've never talked to anybody about it. And I was like, why would you go through that?
Yeah, it's hard to talk to family as well, and even close friends, especially if they've got children. And
exactly.
You really do need to speak to people that can fully understand.
Don't understand why people would go through that by themselves and not talk about it. It's so hard.
It's the brave thing to do, isn't it? And that's that.
So I set up this wee page now. I get a lot of private messages on it, you know, just asking questions and that, but just if anybody has anything to ask, it's completely confidential.
Yeah.
I will post things anonymously for them. It's completely confidential, so if they want to...
And that Facebook page one more time is...
It's Our Journey to Be Mamas.
Okay. Now also, I just want a brief word too on a headstone.
Yes, the Miscarriage Association is going to place a memorial stone for me down here in Donegal. They have 11 all over the country and they have 4 more that they hope to bring out. But I've asked for one to come to Donegal. So Father Arkison and St. Patrick's Church in the Crossroads has very kindly given me permission to place it there. What it's for, great, it's a memorial stone, and anybody with kids that has had miscarriages, stillbirth, babies that died in infancy can go to this memorial stone and just remember their babies. Yeah. And, you know, because we do know that a lot of babies and miscarriage maybe they never got a chance to be buried or, you know. So it's just something that anybody, there will be a memorial mass every month for it, or every year for it, sorry. It's just...
a focal point and somewhere people can go.
Where somebody
and a recognition of people's loss, which can be as...
Exactly.
Is as significant for most people as
any
loss. Okay.
And that was one of my aims, was to get that down, do you know. Mm. So I'm hoping to get that down. Also as well, I suppose with the Miscarriage Association, the Alzheimer's Society, do you know the work they do around here? I just don't think they get enough recognized. Do you know, they just don't get enough funding, and do you know they do fantastic work around here as well. Like, so anything that's raised for the Alzheimer's Society will be kept locally in Donegal.
Lots of people texting in, saying how brave you are and wishing you the very, very best. So I think you're going to raise a fortune with your walk. Thanks so much for calling in. We're going to hold on to the information. If anyone wants it, they can call us closer to the time too. We'll also give it a mention on the show. And listen, thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
And good luck into the future. And as I say, good luck in June and good luck in April too. I know that's how difficult that's going to be for you.
Yeah.
But Olivia Bradley, for now, thank you so much for coming on the programme.
Thank you very much.